I don't feel well, and I'm pretty sure that watching this show made me sicker than I was going into it. This was an episode of Dynamite that had a main event of Mercedes Moné defending the TBS championship against the magical girl, Yuka Sakazaki. And they did such a poor job of promoting this as their main event that we were about 90 minutes into the show, and I legitimately had to look at the description that I have down below, the match card, to remind myself what the main event of the show even was. So that was the state of Dynamite tonight. We had the magical girl. Nothing personally against Yuka Sakazaki, but she hasn't been on Dynamite since Grand Slam. Just showed up on Collision the other week. Won a fatal four-way match. All of a sudden, she's number one contender in main eventing Dynamite this week. We had far too much of the Death Riders on this show. I guess it's one of those things where you need to be careful what you wish for, because we had a match tonight with Jay White and Wheeler Yuta. And there was nothing necessarily wrong with the match itself, but I will never sit here and tell you that we should have had a Wheeler Yuta main event on this show. So I would probably take the Mercedes match over that match anyway in the main event spot. But far too much of the Death Riders on this show. And I understand it's their main angle. So it kind of makes sense for them to occupy more TV time than most other things on this show, but it's no good. It's no good. Speaking of no good, we had Jeff Jarrett in the ring tonight. He went one-on-one with Claudio. And if Jeff Jarrett could beat Claudio, he would earn the right to challenge Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. And he is not challenging Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. However, boy, does Claudio and the Death Riders, boy, did they look worse off coming out of that segment than they did going into it. Jon Moxley apparently is scared of Jeff Jarrett. He's scared of Jeff Jarrett in a way that evidently he wasn't scared of Orange Cassidy or Jay White or Hangman Page going into World's End, because he took it upon himself to get involved in this match tonight to make absolutely sure that Jeff Jarrett would not get an AEW world title match. What that says about the Death Riders, other than the fact that they're heels? Not a whole lot. And by the way, they dropped a segment on their YouTube channel with Renee interviewing her husband and the Death Riders. It dropped at 7 o'clock last night. And I watched it after it dropped, but they showed some brief highlights of it tonight. They're trying to flesh out the details of what the Death Riders are all about, what they represent, what their mission is, right? 4 months later, they're trying to flesh things out here. They didn't do a very good job of it. But there's one part in particular that they did not air on the show tonight that I think is kind of relevant and kind of goes to the point that nobody seems to know what the hell is going on here. And I will tell you what that is when we get to that part of the show a little bit later on. But there's a sliver of hope. There is a sliver of hope. Because we got another very brief interaction, if you can call it that, on the show tonight between MJF and Hangman Adam Page. So can we just like hit the fast forward button? Can we do that? Can we just fast forward through all this Jarrett nonsense with MJF and just get to the good stuff? Sliver of hope. Now, I should mention this. One person who was not present live on the show, although apparently he was there at the arena, but he was not on the show tonight. And according to Fightful, he was factored greatly into tonight's show. And his not being there affected the segments on the show, what they did, maybe the match order. It affected what they had previously planned and written for tonight's show. It doesn't excuse the fact that tonight was not a good show. They had at least several days to try to book at least an entertaining television program. I did not happen to find it as an entertaining television program. But they had Will Hobbs factored into this show. Now, if you saw Collision over the weekend, there was a segment with him and Big Bill. And they went off the stage and they went through some tables down below. And I guess he suffered a cut. He's not injured, but when he got to the building, I guess they determined, according to Fightful, they determined that his stitches were not healed enough yet. And so they were not going to allow him to do whatever it was that he was going to do. Obviously, he would have had a match, because if not, if it was just a promo, then there's no harm in sending him out there. But because his stitches, I guess, were not, fully healed or whatever, he was not medically cleared. So there were changes made to tonight's show because of that. I have a question. I was thinking about this because I was bored during the show. And so my mind began to wander. And maybe I'm just hallucinating because I'm also sick. But I was wondering, you know, what happened to Megan Bain? Yeah, we saw Megan Bain. She was in the women's gauntlet match a few weeks ago. And we heard that she was going to be back, like, full-time in AEW. It was not a one-off. She was going to be featured on television on a regular basis. And then the week after, we had a video package. And in the video package, they showed highlights of her in the gauntlet match, and they kind of talked her up a lot. Nothing tonight on Megan Bain. I don't know if that's a week or 2 weeks now, but just a thought. I don't know if we're going to get her consistently on the show or not. Those are what the reports indicated, but I don't know. We haven't seen Megan Bain since the Women's Gauntlet a few weeks ago. So who knows? One thing that we did learn today, and I don't even think they mentioned this tonight on the show, come to think of it, but I have an update for you on Grand Slam Australia, which is coming out, which is coming, like Veer, it is coming next month. The updates have not been good. Obviously, it was going to be in a stadium, and then they downgraded to a smaller venue, and it was going to air at 8 o'clock on TNT, and then it was going to be 2:30 in the morning on TNT, and then it was going to air on fucking UHF. I don't know. Well, the latest update is a little bit better. And this comes from PW Insider. The latest update is that on TNT, at least here in the United States, AEW Grand Slam Australia will air on February 15th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So it will not be airing at 2:30 in the morning. I mean, it might still be on at 2:30 in the morning, but it's not starting at 2:30 in the morning. But it will air at 10:30 p.m., provided that the NBA All-Star coverage is over by then, which it may not be. But as soon as that ends, they will immediately go into Grand Slam. So, no indication of whether or not it will also simulcast at the same time on Max. You would think that it would, but there's been no clarity on that. AEW has not been very good about giving clarity about much when it comes to the airtime and all that kind of technical information about the show. I would imagine it has to do with Warner Brothers Discovery, perhaps not giving them the information in a timely manner, but it's a bad look for AEW. You would think they would really be pushing that hard, and they really haven't been. They've been pushing the show, but not much else about the show. So anyway, that's the update on Grand Slam. Let's get into this. How shall I put this? Let's get into this depressingly boring episode of Dynamite tonight. This is your AEW Dynamite review. It is Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Dynamite opened with Will Ospreay against Brian Cage. First it was Kenny Omega. Now it was Brian Cage's chance to lose to Will Ospreay. Right as the bell sounded, Don Callis took the microphone, told Ospreay to look at the big screen. We see Kenny Omega had been attacked, was being tended to by doctors and referees. Callis laughed maniacally. Cage attacked him. Ospreay responded with a Hurricane Rana to the floor. So he tried a follow-up dive. Cage sidestepped it, and he leveled Ospreay with a lariat. Ospreay managed to send Cage into the post. He sprung to the guardrail, jumped right into the clutches of Cage, who walked around ringside with a stalling suplex. Cage then took the referee. That allowed Lance Archer and Don Callis to get in some cheap shots for good measure. And so Cage controlled the action once they made it back inside the ring. So Ospreay made a comeback. He booted Cage to the outside, and he hit the Sasuke special out onto Brian Cage. Archer then ran distraction long enough for Cage to recover. He hit the superplex from the outside in for a two count. Ospreay slipped out of a powerbomb with some hook kicks, tried the Os Cutter. Cage caught him with lariats and a Liger Bomb for a close two count. Cage managed an avalanche F5, and Ospreay got his foot on the ropes. Archer, though, shoved it off. And that led to Rick Knox. He actually caught him. So what did Rick Knox do? Rick Knox actually caught him. He had him dead to rights. And what did Rick Knox do? He does what he always does. He did absolutely nothing. The most useless referee in all of wrestling. But this whole delay allowed Ospreay to counter a powerbomb into a Hurricanrana that sent Cage into Archer. Ospreay somehow managed the Styles clash, and he got the pin to win the match. When the match was over, Archer attacked immediately. Cage joined in. Here comes Kenny Omega. We hear the music. And here comes Kenny Omega down to the ring with a chair, which he used on both murder machines. Konosuke, Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher, they made their way to the ring. Now it's 4-on-2. And Takeshita hit a bastard driver on Omega. Fletcher delivered a tombstone on Ospreay. And Callis joined his family members, and they stood tall. So they play Takeshita's music, and you think, all right, you know, good match. Get some heat here for the heels. They lay out the baby faces. Pretty straightforward segment here. And they play Takeshita's music to close the segment, or so I thought. But then they continue to assault Omega. So they stopped his music. Then they posed again. The heels did. And they played Takeshita's music for a second time. And I'm like, okay. But then Omega got up on his knees and he's starting to fight back. So they stopped the music again. And then they continued to attack. Ospreay saw this. He crawled over. He covered Omega to try to stop him from taking any more punishment. Then they played Takeshita's music for a third time. And I was just wondering if this segment was ever going to end. I was wondering how many more times are we going to do this? I felt like I was watching an episode from season 2 of Squid Game. If you know the game that I'm talking about, it's kind of like a merry-go-round. Play the music and stop, play the music and stop. I felt like I was living, I feel like right now the way I feel, like I'm living an episode of Squid Game after having watched this show. But finally, the segment did come to an end. And look, it was the usual good Will Ospreay match. Takeshita and Fletcher, they got heat on the babyfaces heading into Grand Slam. I don't know what happened there at the end. That was very strange. We go backstage to Renee. And she is outside Swerve Strickland's locker room. When Hangman Adam Page storms right by her and goes to enter Swerve's locker room. And he doesn't find him there. So he goes to leave, and Renee's like, wait a minute, what are you doing? And Hangman basically said, look, it's none of your business what I'm doing. So as Page goes to leave, he bumps shoulders with MJF. And the two of them exchange a tense stare. No words are exchanged. And Page continues on his way. So then MJF, after that, he was mumbling to himself, and he was mocking how Hangman, you know, he walks around here acting like king shit. Called him a hypocrite. Then he turned his attention to Jeff Jarrett. And he said, Jeff Jarrett will learn tonight that he should have taken his deal with the devil, but he'll be beaten by a horse in Claudio. I think I would have been more entertained, frankly, by watching Jarrett try to fight a horse. It's like when Matt Hardy had to fight the kangaroo. Actually, if I was sitting here watching Jeff Jarrett fighting a horse tonight, I would have gotten worried that maybe my temperature had spiked a little too high. Maybe I need to lay down a little bit. But no, we did not get the horse. But MJF said that tonight is the last Outlaw's last ride. He goes, ain't I great? So another MJF Hangman tease. And can we fast forward to that, please? Can we get to that? Can that be the Revolution match? But also, you know, Hangman looking for Swerve, that was interesting. Why would he be busting into Swerve Strickland's locker room unless he just wants to beat his ass again randomly? Are they going to make up? Are they going to end up on the same side? Are they going to try to call a truce here? Like, you broke into my house, I burned down yours. Let's just share a beer and just call it even. Forgive and forget. We got pre-recorded comments from Powerhouse Hobbs. Well, as I mentioned earlier, Powerhouse Hobbs not medically cleared to appear on tonight's show, but he was there, so I guess they filmed this in the back with him. But he said, unfortunately, he wasn't cleared to travel to Dynamite tonight, when he's cleared, he's going to show Big Bill that the hell they went through on Collision when they crashed off the stage, that is only the beginning. So the announcers then told us that Bill hit Hobbs with a brick, which is why Hobbs was not cleared to travel. And they showed highlights. They tried to get Hobbs on the show in some way, and I think it's encouraging if they had him factored into the show for a larger role, because they should have him on television consistently. That's a good thing, and I want to see him on the show every week. Not 1 week and then 3 weeks off. 1 week and then 3 weeks off. So hopefully he'll be medically cleared and he'll be back on the show next week. And then it's just a matter of consistency with him. You know, and him and Big Bill, right? Two very talented big men that they have on the roster who I think could be a lot higher up on the card than they are right now. Them working against each other is fine. But both of those guys, you know, both of those guys should be doing more than what they're doing now. Hopefully they're slowly building to that. We'll get to the Big Bill stuff a little later because we got another Jericho New York Minute segment. So, but then we had Jeff Jarrett. I should bring my trash can over here just in case. We had Jeff Jarrett one-on-one against Claudio Castagnoli. Coming into this, there were two trains of thought. On one track, it's MJF interfering in the match and costing Jarrett the ability to get that AEW World Championship match against Jon Moxley. And then that segues into MJF against Jeff Jarrett. On the other track was the thought that Jarrett wins, like even a fluky win, and he earns a shot at Jon Moxley, and in that match, right, when he's this close to winning the championship, MJF snatches it away from him, makes it that much more brutal, and then we get MJF against Jeff Jarrett. And they did neither of those things here in this match. Jarrett avoided a neutralizer and locked on a figure four leg lock. Claudio quickly got to the ropes. Wheeler Yuta comes strolling out, and he begins arguing with Jarrett. After a commercial break, Claudio had taken control. Claudio fired off some uppercuts. Jarrett responded by focusing on the leg. Claudio, though, caught him in a giant swing. Now, normally, when you see Claudio deliver the giant swing, it's very interesting. And I like paying attention to little things like this. Most wrestlers clasp their hands behind their head, which makes sense because you never know what the impact is going to be when he lets go. And you would protect your head. Jarrett didn't do that. Jarrett stiffened up and had his hands at his sides, which I've never seen that before. And then, of course, when Claudio was done, Jarrett's head bounced off the mat, so oops. Claudio sold some leg pain. He still applied the sharpshooter, though. Jarrett reversed the sharpshooter into one of his own until Yuta slid a chair into the ring. And then he went around to the other side to distract the referee. Now, after eating a right hand from Jarrett, Yuta grabs the referee. Okay, he's holding on to the referee. Claudio takes the chair, and he goes for a chair shot. He swings, and he misses. And Jarrett was about to hit the stroke and potentially pick up the win. A wild Jon Moxley appears. The AEW World Champion hits the ring, and before Jarrett can execute the stroke, Moxley drops him with a paradigm shift. Claudio then follows, which of course the referee didn't see. Claudio follows with consecutive neutralizers, and he gets the pin to beat Jeff Jarrett. Jarrett took that second neutralizer horribly. He took it like someone who takes the pedigree. Kane used to do this. Actually, Kane used to take the pedigree and land on one knee, and it looked like shit. Jarrett landed on both knees. Like, he did not want to take the second neutralizer, so it looked like shit. But Claudio picks up the win. So it took, let's recap this, okay? So it took interference from Wheeler Yuta and Jon Moxley to put away Jeff Jarrett here in this match. It took three men, if you count Claudio, it took three men to put away Jeff Jarrett here in this match. Doesn't exactly make the Death Riders look all that intimidating now, does it? Actually, it makes Claudio look like shit. It makes the entire faction look like shit. I don't think that a single person in this segment came out of this segment looking any better off than they were going into it. Jarrett, it didn't help that the match sucked. I thought this match sucked. So it's not like Jarrett went out there and had a great match. He didn't. So who exactly came out of this, looking sterling? Nobody did. Including the referee, by the way. But why? Let me ask you this question. I said this at the top of the review. Why would Jon Moxley be so concerned about Jeff Jarrett that he would feel the need to go out there and interfere in the match like he doesn't trust Claudio enough? We already had Yuta out there, but then Moxley is like, I got to go out there and save this guy. Why would he be so concerned, even if Jarrett went on to win, that Jarrett is going to win a shot at the AEW World Championship when it was Jon Moxley who pitched the idea of a four-way match at World's End, putting his title on the line in one match against three other men, a lot younger than Jeff Jarrett, Jay White, Orange Cassidy, Hangman Page. As I recall, that was Moxley's idea. And I think even the announcers, Renee even may have questioned it on the air at the time. Like, why would Jon Moxley agree to give a title shot to three other men? Oh, I don't know, Renee. Maybe you should ask him. But Jeff Jarrett is just too much for Jon Moxley to handle here. He's petrified of Double J. Fine. So the Death Riders left through the crowd, and Jarrett is in the ring, and he's trying to catch his breath. And he's trying to slowly recover. This week's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. The conference championship games are here. And as I am sitting here speaking right now, the Bills and the Chiefs, the Eagles and the Commanders are all gearing up to see who is going to Super Bowl 59 at the Superdome. Not Silverdome, brother. In New Orleans. The playoffs are not done yet. And you can get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. And today is a great day to get in on all the fun because we've got the Buffalo Bills at 13-4 this season, taking on the 15-2 defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, who are looking to make history. No team in the history of the NFL has ever won three consecutive Super Bowls. And if Patrick Mahomes does the impossible, does that make him the GOAT over Tom Brady and his seven rings? See, I don't know about that. I heard Stephen A. Smith say that the other day. What I can tell you is that today's a great day to place your first bet. And right now, in the DraftKings Sportsbook app, I'm looking at the money line odds, and the Chiefs are favored at minus 125, with the Bills coming in at plus 105. In the other game between the Eagles and the Commanders, Philadelphia is the favorite at minus 285, with Washington coming in at plus 230. How do I think it's going to go? It doesn't matter what I think. All that matters is what you think. And who wins either game is not the only thing that you can place your bets on. You can bet on the odds for top touchdown scorer, the number of receptions, even the outcome of the first drive of the game. Just remember, lines and odds are subject to change. New DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SOLOMONSTER. That's code SOLOMONSTER for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
MJF's music hits, and he's all smiles, and he struts down to the ring, and he was about to say something, and instead he just blasted Jarrett with a right hand right in the face with the Dynamite diamond ring on his pinky finger, knocked him out cold. Then he knelt down next to him, and he said, I respect my elders, so...
I am the learning tree.
Speaking of elders.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tuxedo. Impeccable timing. So MJF knelt down next to him, and he said that he respects his elders, so he's not going to say, "I told you so." And then he walked to the back, and Jarrett was left in the ring unconscious. If they are building to something, which they clearly are, with MJF and Hangman Page, then I have cautious optimism that when we eventually get the match between MJF and Jeff Jarrett, Jarrett ain't going to beat MJF. God put nothing past these people. Like, I don't think Jarrett's going to win the world title, but him beating MJF, I'm not so sure about that. But if they're going to go right into MJF and Hangman, how would it look if MJF lost to Jarrett, even on a fluke, and then went into a program with Hangman? Like, that makes no sense. So I have cautious optimism as far as that goes. But now I'm starting to wonder, because they're going to continue to tell this story with Jeff Jarrett. This is not the end of Jarrett's story. He's going to chase after this AEW World Championship, and they brought it up during commentary tonight about it was the Owen Hart Cup last year that reinvigorated him and made him realize that, you know, a 57-year-old man, he could do this, right? Well, they're going to have another Owen Hart tournament this year. And if they do it the way they did last year, the winner of the Owen Hart Cup is going to get an AEW World Championship match at All In. And so now my mind begins to wander, and I begin to wonder. I'm wandering, and I'm wondering here. Are they going to have Jeff Jarrett? I think they're almost assuredly going to have Jeff Jarrett in the Owen Hart Cup. He didn't win last year. Are they going to have Jeff Jarrett win the Owen Hart Cup? And that is how he gets himself a shot at the AEW World Championship at Globe Life Stadium in Texas on July 12th. Is that what we're headed towards? Are we headed towards Moxley and Jarrett at All In for the AEW World title? I don't know. I just put it out there because as I look ahead and I wonder, how are they going to circle back around to this? Because they're going to want to tell this story with Jarrett at least getting a title match. Holy shit. I mean, it's not all that unrealistic to think about, is it? I don't want to think about it. I want to pretend I didn't even just say it. But it's a very distinct possibility. Just food for thought. Tug on the heartstrings, play off the Owen Hart connection. He'll be the sentimental favorite in the tournament, but then I think reality hits when you realize that Jeff Jarrett is going to the main event at All In. We don't need that. Renee was backstage with Ricochet. And she informs Ricochet that Tony Khan said that if Swerve Strickland interferes tonight in his match, in any capacity, then his match against Ricochet, which is taking place, I believe they're in Atlanta next week, on Dynamite, then the match is off. And Swerve will not be able to get his hands on Ricochet. So Ricochet said he's happy to hear that. And he's going to tell his thoughts to Renee. He'll share his thoughts with her, not tonight, but on Collision this weekend. So as Ricochet makes his entrance, and they came back live, this was great. Excalibur, on commentary, points out accurately that Ricochet interfered in Swerve's match last week. And then Tony Schiavone pipes up and he says, that's right. And that's why it's confusing. Why Tony Khan would make a rule like that, seeing as how it only applies this week to Swerve, right? Like that's not fair. Why would he make this rule and it handicaps Swerve when Ricochet was able to interfere last week? Like, that's the closest that we will ever get to the announcers shooting on Tony Khan's booking, basically. And in so many words, basically saying that this doesn't make any sense. But it was funny to me to hear them articulate it in a very professional way here on the actual broadcast, where even Tony Schiavone is like, well, that doesn't seem really fair. That really doesn't seem to make any sense at all. But that's the rule that Tony Khan made. So after Swerve and AR Fox last week, we were treated to another Lucha Underground revival this week with Ricochet one-on-one against AR Fox. I miss Prince Puma, by the way. I wish he would come back. I would prefer Prince Puma over Ricochet. Can we bring him back? Prince Puma never spoke. He wore that mask. He just went out there, had kick-ass matches. Can we get that guy back? I miss Prince Puma. Fox wanted a Death Valley driver on the apron. Ricochet, though, floated over into the ring and then hip tossed Fox, who was still on the apron. He hip tossed him onto the edge of the ring apron, and then he fell to the floor, and that did not look fun. When things returned, Ricochet was still in control. Both men got a full head of steam, and they ducked an attack, and then they collided. They both went for a crossbody block, so both men were down. Fox hit a picture-perfect 450 splash that only netted him a near fall, and he couldn't believe that Ricochet kicked out. Ricochet crawled to the apron, but he held on to the referee as Fox pulled him back in, and that brief hesitation allowed Ricochet to hit a codebreaker for a two count. Then he hit the spirit gun, and then he finished him off with Vertigo for the win. After the match, Ricochet grabbed his gold scissors, which were hidden behind one of the turnbuckles. And he was about to use it on Fox when Swerve Strickland appeared at ringside. And he may or may not have had a chain, because he basically swept out Ricochet's legs and dragged them outside. I think the announcer said he had a chain. I didn't see one. It was hard to tell. He may have had a chain, but whatever. He pulls Ricochet out of the ring. And this is okay, because he waited until after the match was over. He lived up to the rules that Tony Khan put forth. He waited until the match was over, ding, 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 and then he came out to interfere. So he's beating him up outside. He throws him into the barricade, and he throws him into the ring steps. He gets him in the ring, and he's setting up for a swerve stomp, and Ricochet grabs AR Fox. He reaches over and grabs AR Fox and pulls him on top of him like a human shield. And he also has his golden scissors, and he's putting them to his throat like he's threatening to murder this man if Swerve jumps off the top rope. He's got a hostage. We have a hostage situation here. So anyway, he tossed Fox aside. He bailed, and Swerve stared him down, saying there's nowhere to run in 1 week. This was a good match, and I liked the little post-match angle they did here. Swerve was out there looking like a maniac. He looked like he wanted to murder this man. Ricochet out there acting like a chicken shit, doing everything he could, including taking a hostage to try to get out of the situation with his life. And these two are going to go out there, I think, and have a great match next week. So this is the one segment on this show I had no issues with. I thought this was fine. They aired footage. Okay, here we go. This is what I wanted to talk about. So they aired footage. Now, Renee does a series on their YouTube channel called AEW Close Up, and they interview different people for it. So what they did was they interviewed the Death Riders. They had her interview her husband and the rest of the Death Riders, I guess at their home. They were in the basement, to talk about the Death Riders and what their mission is, what do they hope to accomplish, and all of that. And it dropped on their YouTube channel yesterday at 7 o'clock. So here, they just aired some very brief highlights. But in the highlights, she asks, why is her husband holding the AEW world title hostage, right? Another hostage situation on this show. Actually, there's three hostage situations, because I kind of feel like I was taken hostage tonight. But she's asking a valid question to her husband. You know, I guess when they're just, you know, at home playing with the kids, or they're lounging out on the couch, or they've got some pillow talk, you know, it just doesn't seem appropriate to ask him, hey, honey, why are you hiding the world championship in a briefcase, right? Because honestly, even when they're home, they're probably like, who gives a shit about this stuff? But she asked the question here, and we have not physically seen the AEW world title since he won it at WrestleDream from Bryan Danielson. It has been missing ever since. Hey, you know what? Since it's going to be gone after this weekend, I'd pop if when the reveal finally happens and that briefcase opens, instead of the AEW world title, like the Winged Eagle belt just magically appears and they start using the Winged Eagle on Dynamite. See, I think that would be great, actually, if they did that. And I think the AEW world title belt is one of the better looking wrestling belts today. I'm not shitting on the belt. I'm just saying I'm bummed that after this weekend, the Winged Eagle is going back to the warehouse. That's all I'm saying. She asked the question. Moxley asks, why? Do people think this is a petting zoo? They want to take a picture with it. People don't understand what it takes to be a champion. He is the living definition of a world champion. You want your world title? It's right here. Take a look at me. It's not something you win. It's not something you hold. It's not something you show off or you take a picture with. It's in your heart. It's cultivated. It's grown in the white hot fires of combat. Moxley is building an army of John Moxleys. Can you imagine an army of Death Riders here? He's building an army of John Moxleys behind him, and he's backfilling them behind him, putting them through what he has gone through and worse. Well, they can't go through what he's gone through unless Tony Khan puts them on TV in a gas mask and forces them to get vaccinated on TV, like Dean Ambrose had to. Look, I'll say one nice thing about this. I'm glad that they attempted to take a stab at something like this, although it's 4 months too late. I don't know why it took 4 months to get something like this. People have been asking this question now for months. What exactly is it that the Death Riders are after here? What's the end goal? What do they see as the end result of this campaign of terror that they have been raining upon AEW now for the past 4 or 5 months? All right? They still have not given a valid answer to that question. I don't know why it took 4 months to even do a segment like this in the first place. And unfortunately, I can't give you a straight answer now because what they gave us here was a bunch of gobbledygook, and I watched the entire 20 minutes. They didn't really say a whole hell of a lot different than the bullshit that we've heard on TV. But that wasn't even the best part, right? That's what they aired on the show tonight. What they did not show you here from that segment was Renee asking what their main objective is. And Claudio said that, look, we're not here to kill AEW. Our objective is not to destroy this company. It's just the opposite. But in the same segment, when Renee went to go interview Pac, who was sitting in a sauna, like she turned and off to the side, there's just like a little single sauna and he's in his gear and he's just sitting in there by himself and she's interviewing him through the glass. She asked the same question to Pac. Do you know what Pac had to say in this segment? This is what Pac said. He said, their goal is to burn this company to the ground. How are we supposed to follow along here? How are we supposed to make heads or tails out of this and what their mission is when the people in the group cannot get on the same page as to what their mission is in the first place? Claudio says, we don't want to destroy AEW. Pac says, we want to destroy AEW. I'm more confused coming out of this than I was going into it. Good job. This accomplished nothing. This was a waste of time. That's what this was. We got a commercial that aired for a brand new movie that Chris Jericho is in, called Dark Match, which is what I wish he would have more of, on Shudder. I like Shudder. Shudder is a horror channel, for those who don't know. They actually had a, they had a series on Shudder that I was a fan of, Creepshow. Yeah, the movie Creepshow. They had a TV series, and I think it went 3 or 4 seasons, and it was airing on Shudder, and I have not heard anything since, so... I'm going to assume that it is not returning, unfortunately. But I'm not going to subscribe to Shudder just to watch Dark Match. But that is the new movie that Chris Jericho is in. I guess it maybe, I think it premieres this weekend. If you want to watch it, you can go find it. But this led into another New York Minute segment with Chris Jericho and the Learning Tree. Let me ask you a question. The New York Minute segments, they started in advance of Final Battle, when Jericho was going to defend the ROH world title against Matt Cardona, because Final Battle was at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is in New York. Final Battle was a month ago. Why are we still getting New York Minute segments? Is this like an inside joke? Is it supposed to be funny? Like last month it made sense. Now it doesn't make any sense. But he's still doing the New York Minute here. We don't claim him, by the way. Us New Yorkers. We don't claim this man. I know he was born in New York, but we don't claim him. So he said that Big Bill took out Powerhouse Hobbs last week. And then Bill spoke and he said that he put Jericho's words last week into action. And he feels stronger because of it. And Jericho said that that makes him proud of. And then Bill in the background, you could tell like Bill was ready to get this great compliment from his mentor. But instead, Jericho says he was proud of himself. proud of himself for being such a great mentor. But Bill did not do what he was supposed to do. Bill did not take out Powerhouse Hobbs permanently. So it looks like he still has more to learn. But anyway, so Jericho said that he and Brian Keith are going to take on the Outrunners this week on Collision. And Jericho waved goodbye, but his smirk slowly faded into a sneer as he looked over his shoulder back at Big Bill. So trouble is afoot. They're slowly building to Big Bill breaking away from the learning tree, which is good. That's a good thing. Now we just have to be patient, wait for it to happen, and hope for his sake, that once he breaks away from the learning tree, we don't continue to get Jericho segments and no Big Bill segments on TV, because what a kick in the balls that would be. Like, it's one thing to have Jericho on the show, but if after all this, Jericho still ends up with more TV time than Big Bill, then, I give up. I don't even know what to say to that. Like, I just give up. So, hopefully bigger and better things for Big Bill. We had Switchblade Jay White in action next against Wheeler Yuta. I briefly fell asleep during this match, but an alert on my watch woke me up before the finish. So I was able on Mac, because I watch the shows on Max now, I was able to go back and see what I missed. That's what Wheeler Yuta does to me. Yuta tried to attack before the bell, almost ate a Blade Runner, but he scrambled outside. So White was having his way with him until Yuta drop-kicked the leg out, hit a drop toe hold onto the edge of the ring. The ankle got trapped in the framing of the ring, and that allowed Yuta to stomp on the knee. Excalibur threw it to picture-in-picture, and the show just kept going. So they just continued announcing, and then a minute or two later, in the middle of them speaking, they just abruptly cut to commercial. So when things came back, White tried to mount a comeback. Yuta again went after the leg. Yuta wanted a back superplex. White fought out with a dragon screw and hit a superplex for a two count. Yuta rolled through a uranage and then chop blocked White, leading into a single leg crab. White got the ropes. Yuta hit an arm trap angle slam for a two count. So White started firing up, hit a huge uranage. White wanted Blade Runner. Yuta rolled through into a schoolboy. And Yuta looked for a splash. Rolled through. Wanted the Busaiku knee, but he ran right into a Blade Runner. And just like that, Jay White finishes off Wheeler Yuta. After the match, the Death Riders hit the ring. And they attack Jay White. But Rated FTR hits the scene, and they make the save before things got out of hand as Powerhouse Hobbs sits at home and seeds and possibly starts to wonder a few things about these guys. Dax Harwood took the microphone, and he said that he hates how the Death Riders tried to end a 67-year-old hero of his. I thought they were referring to Jeff Jarrett earlier in the show, but they were referring to Ricky Morton. Last week, they bashed his brains in with a concerto. Harwood said that Dennis Condrey is here tonight. One half of the legendary Midnight Express. And on the name of Dennis Condrey, he said, on Collision, they will see the Death Riders in a Mid-South street fight. So, Jay White got a measure of revenge on Wheeler Yuta, who's been a thorn in his side for a while now. The match itself was fine, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just over it. I see Yuta. I see the Death Riders. I just check out. I don't care. Like, I don't care. I just don't care. And I could have sworn that the announcers referred to Copeland as Copeland. So, I don't know if it was a slip of the tongue, or if they've already done away with Cope. Probably not, but I still call him Copeland. Anyway, enough of the Death Riders. We got a video package of the Mariah May and Toni Storm segment on Collision this past Saturday, where we finally got Toni Storm revealing that all along it was not amnesia. It was the performance of a lifetime. She was playing herself. Some people play with themselves. Other people play themselves. She played herself, and she played Mariah May, and it got a great reaction when people realized what was going on, and she cut this impassioned promo on Mariah and threatened to cut her tits off. She's kind of extreme, but that's what she said. It's a great segment. And I know some people were upset, like, why would they air this on Collision? But you know what? I could see it both ways, because there is a concerted effort these last couple of weeks, clearly, on Tony Khan, you know, his part, to make Collision a more desirable show. I'm going to run down the matches later for Collision. There's like a whole lineup for Collision. There's one match announced for Dynamite next week. There's like six fucking things announced for Collision, which makes sense because it's sooner than next Wednesday, but usually it's a little more even. So there's clearly an effort on their part underway to make Collision more of a desirable show that people have to tune in to see. Now, Warner Brothers Discovery wanted Dynamite. They wanted Collision. They said you could take Rampage and stick it up your ass, right? They didn't care for Rampage. That's why Rampage is gone. Tony Khan has to find a way to make Collision a desirable show and destination for people on Saturday nights. So how could Collision ever become must-see if you don't take segments like that that are as close to must-see as anything going right now in AEW, and there's really nothing that's must-see at the moment, but it's the closest thing, and putting it on Collision, right? So I understand it. It is the kind of segment that you really want on your A show. I was hoping they would replay most of it here. They did give highlights. They didn't replay the entire thing, but they gave us enough highlights of it. So we go to Renee, and she welcomes the AEW Women's World Champion, Mariah May, to the stage. Tony Schiavone calls her a typical mean girl. Mariah says that it's great to be in Huntsville, but maybe they should change the first letter to a C. It's like Stone Cold saying that if you put the letter S in front of Hitman, you've got my exact thoughts about Bret the Hitman Hart. I you know what? I endorse the idea, and I hereby declare that from now on, we remove the H from Huntsville and we replace it with a C. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all heard about Cody Rhodes finishing his story in 2024, to the point where even I was sick of it, and I was happy once it was finally over. But that was his story, and that was last year. Have you thought about what you want your story to be in 2025? If not, what are you waiting for? Life isn't about New Year's resolutions that you're going to forget about before January's even over. It's about picking up that pen and becoming the author of your own story. And you can think of therapy as your co-author, helping you write new chapters to craft the story that you deserve. You've heard me talk about this before, and I say it every time. The benefits of therapy are limitless. Whatever experiences that you've had in your life, you can be sure that there are other people out there that have gone through something similar, or maybe going through something similar right now. You are not alone. But it can help teach you positive coping skills and how to set boundaries in your life, how to cope with trauma. I think there are people who think that that's all therapy is for. It's just to help people work through some sort of major trauma in their life. It certainly can, but that's far from the only thing it can help you with. It can help you become the best possible version of you. And who doesn't want that? Why do you think therapy exists in the first place? Because there's something in your life right now that you need help with. And it's a big first step to admit that. But once you do, it can be such a liberating feeling. If you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's completely online, making therapy affordable and convenient, where maybe you don't have the financial resources to visit a therapist in person, or you think you don't have the time to fit it into your schedule. Now you can, and you'll be joining the more than 5 million people worldwide that are being served by BetterHelp right now. You'll also have access to a network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties. And you can easily switch therapists at any time at no extra cost. Write your story with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. She said, we're not playing this game about, you know, Toni Storm. Toni Storm, she says, is not real. She said, Toni wants to play the role of Toni Storm. Why doesn't she play the role of the woman who used her for her gold? Play the Toni Storm whose most memorable moment was bleeding and crying in my hands, or the one who walked out of AEW and Japan and Mexico because she couldn't touch Mariah. play whatever version you want. The ending is still the same. When you're this good, you don't change a thing. She says that she is the woman from hell and always will be, something that she will remind Tony of for the rest of her life. Look now and never forget, for this is your AEW Women's World Champion. And then she held up the title and that was it. So there was no Tony Storm appearance tonight. This was the follow-up to that segment from Collision. Excuse me. But no Tony Storm on the show. I am looking forward to the match. So as far as Grand Slam and the card, yeah, the tag match with Omega and Ospreay, the Women's World title match, they got some great matches, you know, lined up on that show. That's one of the ones I'm looking forward to. We got highlights of the Hurt Syndicate beating Private Party last week to win the AEW World Tag Team titles. MVP says he recognized, well, actually in this segment, he recognized Private Party for fighting hard, but wasn't their fault for running into a dominant tandem in Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, who will hold the titles as long as they choose. Name the time, name the place. They're the Hurt Syndicate, and they hurt people, is what he said. Pretty straightforward stuff here. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness. I'm dying over here. I may collapse during this stream. My God. All right. I got some H2O in me. Let's get on with this review, shall we? Shall we? I'm still here. We go backstage to the Vendetta, a faction that has never appeared on this show before. But they actually put Taya Valkyrie and Deonna Purrazzo on the show tonight in a backstage segment. Taya says that moments from now, they're going to see Mercedes Moné defend her TBS title against Yuka. And Deonna said that it should have been her in this match. But Valkyrie said Harley Cameron stuck her balloons where they don't belong. So now Harley belongs to the Vendetta. And on Collision, they are coming to collect. I am going to laugh. I'm going to laugh if after all those reports about Deonna Purrazzo being very vocal with management behind the scenes, and good for her for standing up for herself, but being very vocal behind the scenes about wanting to be utilized better, if they put her in the ring with Harley Cameron, and Harley Cameron, who has never won a match ever in AEW, gets her first win over Deonna Purrazzo, I'm going to laugh. Like, how can you not find that funny? We'll see. No match was announced, but they're gonna do something with Harley on Collision. But they close the show, thank God. They close the show with the magical girl, Yuka Sakazaki, who has not wrestled on Dynamite since Grand Slam on September 25th, challenging Mercedes Moné for the TBS Championship. The fans were behind Yuka for this. Good for them. This had no business being the main event on this show. Absolutely not. Now, I guess there was nothing better to put in this spot, because I sure as hell didn't need to see Wheeler Yuta against Jay White in the main event, which they could have easily done. But this had no business being in the main event. 4 months gone. 4 months gone. One match on Collision, wins a four-way in the main event on Dynamite. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Mercedes hit a shoulder tackle, did her CEO dance. Yuka kipped up, hit a shoulder block of her own, and then mocked the dance. Sakazaki blocked the baseball slide. Then she mocked Mercedes, who she hit with a spin kick on the apron. Sakazaki went to the top for a dive. Mercedes wisely bailed. And Yuka tried the boot from the apron. Moné swept out the leg and then hit a diving meteora and took control of the match, which took us into the final commercial break. Hey, shout out to Rican Sun, who's joining us. What's going on, Rican Sun? Yuka countered a powerbomb into a hurricanrana. Mercedes missed a corner meteora. Brainbuster and a sliding lariat by Yuka connected for a near fall. Mercedes responded by floating over a suplex into the Three Amigos. Mercedes took too much time, though, going up top. Got cut off with a step-up forearm and a superplex. Sakazaki wanted the merry-go-round, but Moné spun out. tried the Monet Maker, only for Sakazaki to land on her feet, hit a thrust kick. Mercedes avoided a charge, and then was able to utilize a head scissors into the corner. That led to the backstabber, which then led to the statement maker. Sakazaki rolled into a pin attempt for two, and Mercedes was trapped in the corner. Sakazaki hit a snap German, and Mercedes landed hard. So then Yuka goes for the magical girl splash. Monet got the knees up. Then came a power bomb and the Monet maker to no reaction for the win. And so Mercedes retains the TBS championship. No reaction for that Monet maker, but she is bound and determined to continue using this move. I just don't understand it. I really don't. But that was Dynamite. I thought they brought back Rampage tonight. I had a double check to make sure I was watching Dynamite and not Rampage. This was a dreadfully boring episode, even with some good matches. I'm not saying that there weren't any good matches on the show. The Jeff Jarrett match was no good, but pretty much all the other matches on the show were at least good. I wouldn't say anything was great, but they were good. But so what? We get good matches every single week on this show. We get good matches on the other show every single week. This was a dreadfully boring show. No other way to say it. Now, Collision, I mentioned they announced a whole bunch of shit for Collision this weekend. Here's the lineup for Collision on Saturday. FTR is going to wrestle John Moxley and Wheeler Yuta in a Mid-South street fight. Daniel Garcia defends the TNT title against Kyle O'Reilly and Lee Moriarty. Chris Jericho and Brian Keith take on the Outrunners. Ricochet will address Swerve Strickland. Hook and Samoa Joe will take on Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian. We're going to hear from Timeless Tony Storm, and The Vendetta are looking to collect on Harley Cameron. What did you think of Dynamite for January 29th? Well, it's not very good. 21.5% thumbs up, 78.5% thumbs down. Like I said, a dreadfully boring show. Now, the Twitter poll is not kind a lot of the time to Dynamite, but it's not this bad. So you know it was a bad episode for it to be that bad. Because that's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. There we go. Look at that guy. Look at that. That looks a lot better. All right, let's take a look at your Super Chats. I thank you guys for the support tonight. Let's put a smile on my face. Let's backtrack here and go to the early ones and see what you guys are talking about. Any questions you may have and what you thought of Dynamite tonight? Fire Panda was first in with a $48 Super Chat. How many Hundy Bombs does the chat need to send for the Solomonster to get an OnlyFans? Solomonster socks off. Well, I mean, that's going to be an awful lot of Super Chats. You'll never meet that goal. So it's not going to happen. Oh, man. Trill Mexican. Thanks for Back to Love. He loves that song. I said, I got to play it for him. I got to play it for my boy. Hey, Dark Effect. Thank you for the 1992. Let me see if... Hold on a second. Let me make sure. Oh, there we go. All right, so they are there. Hey, Phil Dog, thank you for 25 months of channel membership. There's Dark Effect. Dark Effect, thank you for the 1992. Kurt Angel. We're going to stick with that. Kurt Angel said that John Cena is WWE's GOAT because he's held their championship more times than anyone else. I do not share this opinion, but in your eyes, who is and what qualifies someone as the best? What qualifies someone as the best is whatever you think qualifies them as the best. It is completely subjective. There is no set criteria, just like their Hall of Fame. There is no set written criteria for what is the best. You may say that, I don't know, let's say you think Randy Savage is the greatest of all time. I may say that Bret Hart is the greatest of all time, or Kurt Angle is the greatest of all time. It's subjective. it's subjective. And what goes into it? Is it the best matches? Is it the most number of championships? To be honest with you, I'm far more impressed with a Roman Reigns holding a championship for 3.5 years than I am John Cena winning a title 16 times. And I've gotten that question occasionally, and I've always answered it that way. Like, would you find it more impressive to hold a championship once for a very long time or hold that championship many times? And I always say to hold that championship once for a very long time. To me, that's more impressive. But again, the criteria is whatever you want that criteria to be. Mr. Rod says, first off, get well soon, Solo. Thank you, brother. That said, it's a good thing I didn't go to the show because this show was mid. No, this was not mid. This was below mid. Dev to Dust. I feel solemn monster. Like the little brother New York teams. Like, I think he says likes. The little brother New York teams like the Mets, the Jets, and the Islanders. I don't watch hockey. I could give two shits about the Islanders. Why every guy in the 80s had the Tom Selleck mustache? Because it was cool. It was cool, and apparently that's what the ladies wanted. That's why they love Tom Selleck, and that's why they love Big Scott Hall, who looked a lot like Tom Selleck with that mustache. Oz and Glorious, 44 months. 44 months of channel membership. Man, it's cold in here. I'm shivering. He says, acknowledge me. You have been hereby acknowledged. Thank you, Oz and Glorious. We got Justin G. Thank you, folks. This is your Dynamite review. I'm what's left of the Solo Monster. Feel better soon. I'm hanging on, brother. I'm hanging on by a thread, but I'm here. Oz and Glorious, congrats on 83K, even though you're starting to sound like 83 weeks, my dude. Get feeling better, Solo. You are my tribal chief. Well, that is the greatest insult that you have ever paid me, comparing me to Eric Bischoff. Don't ever do that. Eric Bischoff goes whichever way the wind blows. I go the correct way, which is the honest way, which is how I feel. And certainly tonight, this show is no good. And by the way, we're almost at 84,000. So thank you to everybody who has gotten us to 84,000. And before long, it'll be 85. So it's going to be great. Robbie and friends, I haven't seen a worse Twitter poll since 2019 to 2021 Raw. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Cool bro, do you find skeleton jokes to be humorous? Because to be honest with you, I find them to be quite the rib ticklers. Brother, you fucked it up. You fucked up the punchline. The punchline should have been, to be honest with you, I find them quite humorous. It was a layup. Cool, bro. I'm very disappointed. Joseph Stewart, was Macho Man Randy Savage against Bret Hart the original plan for WrestleMania 9? No, I've never heard that, not one time. Base Beerus, thank you for the pair of super chats. MGM Ballin says, as I type this, my birthday is in 57 minutes, and you gave me an early gift on Saturday with a high five as you were walking to the back during intermission. Hope next time I chat with both Titans. Yeah, definitely. Say hello next time. I was being pulled in every direction on Saturday. I got to meet a lot of people at the Hog Show, but sometimes, man, there just isn't enough time, especially during intermission. But I'm glad we got to see each other briefly at least. So hopefully we'll see you at the next show. We got Base Beerus with another $2 super chat. Tuxedo T Servo with a 12. Making a sick Solo Monster watch a boring episode of Dynamite. Shame, AEW. Shame. Feel better soon, Solo. You know, I hope I feel better for the Rumble. That's going to suck if I'm not any better. I mean, it's been a couple days, but it really, really hit me today. So usually that's a few days. So I got my fingers crossed, but man, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed if I have to feel like this for the Rumble, man, and that sucks. Jeremy Rose, this show came to my town on my birthday tonight, and I had no interest to go because these shows have been ass. At least the Royal Rumble is this week. Well, no argument there. We got CNM, 3443. Dynamite felt boring and inconsequential. Something needs to change. Finding myself less interested every week that goes by. Hope that changes. I hope that changes too. Devin from New Jersey. Did Solo see Maven as a world champion? I think he had potential to be a lot bigger than he was. World champion, I wouldn't go that far. I didn't see enough of him in the ring to justify calling him a future world champion. But I think there was a certain appeal there with him that he could have been a big star. Absolutely. I just don't know about world champion. Dark Effect, showing you respect, sir, for getting on here when you feel like crap. Give us a quality Dynamite review. You are the man. Your rational, grounded opinions are the best on the interweb. I'm glad someone thinks so. You should see the comments. You'll see the comments I get tonight. You're a hater. Hating for the sake of hating. Warms my soul. Leopoldo says... what does that say? You at 50% is better than AEW at 100. Right now, feel better solo. Now, the problem is we haven't had AEW at 100. If we had AEW at 100, it would be great. But we don't. So it's not. But thank you. I appreciate the comment. David Thiering with that $150 bomb. Wow. Brother Solo, I see and hear that you are under the weather. After a four-hour TNT last night, you would think that an episode of Dynamite would cheer you up and make you feel better. Psych. Get better soon, my friend. Hopefully our favorite Joe Hendry Super Chat helps. It did. Thank you very much. I don't even know what to take. Like, when you get a cold, right? What do? Take some Sudafed and shit. It doesn't do anything. Nothing works. I don't even know what to buy. And everything's locked up behind a fucking glass cabinet. They have fucking toothpaste behind there now. I have to ring a bell and then nobody comes. I love it. With my germ-infested hands, I have to touch this button and wait for somebody to come over and open the thing so I could get what I need. This is what we've come to these last few years. It's terrible. We got Feast with a $5 super chat. Says, even watching on fast forward, I still notice the 10 minutes of nothing between the Mariah segment and the Deonna segment. Just recap and hype videos. Oof. Well, I mean, to be fair, we get a lot of fluff and bullshit on WWE shows as well. You could have a PLE, and in between matches, you could legitimately go 25 to 30 minutes without a match. That's inexcusable. Inexcusable. I don't care how great the matches are. You should not have that much downtime between matches. So that's not just an AEW problem. Verbal Souls. Old Bug Eyes needs to be sent over the edge and retire for what that promo did to Ricky Starks. Thank you, Verbal Souls. You know what? Boots, I think you're right. I think the real American beer is what got me sick. I had that fucking beer last week. And then he brought more of it, and I had another real American beer at the Hog Show before the show on Saturday, and I'll bet you that fucking beer got me sick. Another reason not to drink that crap. Deep fried chicken with flavor. I have a great idea. Braun Breaker retires with both Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. One at WrestleMania and the other at SummerSlam. Well, that's not happening. So. I don't think there's ever going to be one person who retires Brock Lesnar if he comes back. I don't think Brock Lesnar will ever be retired by one person. Rikinson, with 38 months of channel membership, was at Collision on Saturday, and man, what a night. Shook JR's hand, met over 15 wrestlers, chatted with Dante, Jerry Lynn, and Brody King. Best part was Turbo Floyd giving me his headband after the show. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Meeting the wrestlers is always cool, man. Like, they got a lot of great people who work there. That's why I wish I had, you know, nicer things to say about shows like this, but it's not really a reflection on the talent. But when you go to these shows and you get that, like, personal experience, you always have a great time. So that's awesome. Yeah, Rikinson is the one, he had the Sala Monster Bebe sign when they were at Daily's Place once, like, right there on camera. Because they were at Daily's Place again on Saturday for Collision, so that's very cool. Honey Deep Fried Chicken with Flavor says, I would love to give Harley Cameron a nice hug. Well, after that series of tweets that Asuka put out today, you know what? Let's all keep our hugs to ourselves, okay? Because whatever she's going through right now does not sound like fun, and unfortunately there are a lot of freak fans out there doing a lot of freaky shit that they shouldn't be doing. And it sucks that apparently she's had a horrible fan experience and feels unsafe, is what she said. So, Retro KOH, thank you for the super chat. Libido Bell, what's Jordan Salamander doing in the Impact Zone? Is that going to be my new name? When I pop up, who am I replacing? Am I replacing Tom Phillips? He does a great job. He does a better job than I would. There's no need for me to be in the, unless I'm going to manage somebody. I can manage. Who am I going to manage? Who would you like me to manage in the Impact Zone? Kiddo Hudson says, tomorrow is my birthday. Can I get an HBK theme song rendition from you? Well, kiddo, I can't do that because I just can't do it. I physically can't do it right now. But what I will do is I will wish you a great happy birthday. And I hope that you get everything you're looking for this year. I hope you get some good gifts. Not just the gift of a Sala Monster review. But that's the best I can do. Because I'm just about tapped out. Honey Deep Fried Chicken with Flavor. AEW right now is like watching the New York Giants. Or the Jets. Cool, bro. I made a belt out of herbs. What a waste of time. Okay, see, that's better. THYME. A waste of time. I like that one. I should manage Mike Santana. Santana doesn't need me, though. I would love to. Look, anything I could do to help elevate Mike Santana. I don't think he needs my help. I think he's doing well on his own. Alex says, Brother Solo, if you can give 2019 Tony Khan one advice regarding AEW's future, what would it be? Do not give EVP powers to any of the wrestlers. I just think that was a very bad idea from the go. They can help out here and there where they want to contribute, but having active talent as executives in the company is a horrible idea. So that's one piece of advice. We'll be here all night, though, if we try to come up with more. Retro KOH, what do you say to a bee that likes sushi? Wasabi. Kiddo Hudson, I love you, Solo. Thank you, kiddo. Right back at you. George Seckman, what did the baby corn say to the mama corn? Where's popcorn? Oh. That popped me. Oh, shit, look at that. I just I didn't even mean to do that. I just played off his joke, but that popped me. Thank you, George. Barry MK, have you seen the tweets Asuka made today? She feels in danger from... I literally just talked about it. Verbal Souls. A bunch of Moxleys. I knew it. They're going to go to the mall wearing tap-out shirts, harassing people because they took one class of jiu-jitsu. By the way, I just took a look at the like skull. Looks like we're not getting any Be the Booker tonight at this rate, so get those likes up. Leopoldo says, what the hell was up with Ricochet almost doing the people's elbow? I have no idea, dude. I was wondering the same thing. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. Todd Warner, celebrating 25 months of channel membership. Feel better solo. I'm a yellow skull now. Congratulations. We got some green skulls in the chat. We got some yellow skulls. We got red and blue pop up every now and then. So I love seeing those colored skulls. David Thering with that $40 Ghoulberg. Hit that like button. Otherwise, Ghoulberg will come visit you in your sleep. Everyone is different, but what helps me with colds is plenty of water, vitamin C, and if you can rest. Well, that's not happening. I'll tell you a little funny story here. So, I had to bring my laptop back in. I told you guys a few weeks ago, I paid like $500 to get the keyboard fixed. It's like a special part that had to be ordered. So it was like a whole thing. And I was going to get a new battery and put some new thermal paste on there because it gets very hot, all that stuff. I'm like, give me the works, okay? This is my work machine here. So give me everything you got. So we got that taken care of. I get a phone call. I got a phone call yesterday, actually, from the person at the shop. They thought they replaced the battery, but they didn't. Like, the battery came in, but I guess the work on the keyboard took so long. It was just so much longer than they thought. By the time they were done, they called me and said everything's ready, and I didn't think anything of it. I said, okay, I guess I got a new battery in there. I still had the old battery. And the new battery was still sitting in a box that I paid for at their shop. I'm like, holy shit. It's been over a week. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll bring it in tomorrow, right? Of course, now I get sick. So I had to pack this whole thing up. And I brought it in. And he's like, it'll just be a few hours, right? Like 3 hours, we got another job. I'm like, no problem. I go home and I'm like, you know what? I don't have my computer. I feel like shit. I'm going to do something I never do. I'm going to take a nap. I'll set an alarm for, like, if I can get 2 hours, that would be amazing, right? Because I couldn't sleep the other night. Set my alarm, I lay down, I'm tossing and turning, I finally start to fall asleep, and the fucking guy calls me. Oh, your computer's ready. Woke me right up. Son of a bitch. Got back in the car, went to the shop, got the computer, came home. So much for that nap. Even if I try to take one, it just doesn't work out for me, so... Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. Oz and Glorious with the 5 says, I was here when you somehow deliriously streamed Sick as a Dog with the Rona. Also, when you had the pandemic hair. Stop drinking racist beer, Solo. I will. I'm not drinking that shit no more. I don't know what kind of elixir that is, but I'm not... And don't remind me about the COVID hair, please. We don't need to go back to that. We can leave that in the past. Jeremy Rose. So, are you telling me not to celebrate my birthday tonight with great American beer? Well, look, if you want to end up just completely shit-faced and sick, go right at it. If you can find it. It's not sold in every state. It's not sold in New York. George Sekman, how do you organize a space party? You planet. Man, I'll tell you, you're giving Sidro a run for his money. And RDS Harry. The Death Riders is like what would happen if you paired the Aces and Eights and Retribution together. They were both terrible. God bless you, brother. At least the Aces and Eights had cool theme music. That's the one thing I've always said about the Aces and Eights. I like their music. I thought their music was pretty badass. Groovy Goose, what do you call corn that grows in 3 days? Woodstock. Yeah. I don't know about that one. Leopoldo says, David Thiering is cheering us and Solo up tonight with Goolber. He is. But David always cheers us up whenever he's here. Honey deep fried chicken. Tonight, we should give Tony Khan some candy, cookies, cakes, pie, and lots of desserts for a bad Dynamite show. I don't think he deserves any of that. Groovy Goose, it's the thought that counts. Don't despair. It's the thought that counts. We are 2 likes away from our regular goal, and there it is. We're 401. So, you guys are getting 2 rounds of Be the Booker tonight before I pass out here. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it. It's time to Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
So here's round number 1. We begin with Billy and Bart. The Smoking Guns are kicking us off here in Be the Booker. Cool Bro. Cool Bro says, I paused them, so it'll pop up after, but he says, I asked if you thought skeleton jokes are humorous. To me, they're rib ticklers. I didn't mess up the joke. I accidentally took cat's medicine. Don't ask meow. I'm just going to move on here and pick another team. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, good Lord. Are you fucking kidding me with this? This is straight out of 1995 hell. The Smoking Guns against Well Done. Timothy Well and Stephen Dunn. See, because they're well done. Managed by Harvey Whippleman. Awful. Awful. Women's Be the Booker. Oh, this is going to get people talking about Saturday. AJ Lee is here with us tonight in Be the Booker. Will she be there at the Royal Rumble? I'm going to say no. But you never know. Anything's possible. It's going to be AJ Lee against Kana. This was Asuka. Before she was Asuka, you had Kana. Kana was not to be messed with. The thing is, like, Kana would absolutely destroy AJ Lee. Like, she would rip her in half and swallow her and spit her back up. So it's not going to be very competitive at all. I'd still love to see it, though. The Murder Clown, that's right. All right, men's Be the Booker, here we go. We begin with Sting, who doesn't look too good here in this image. Sting is in rough shape here, as you see the blood trickling from his mouth. But Sting in the main event just feels right. But it takes 2 to tango. Sting and who? Sting against Rowdy Roddy Piper. A fine main event anywhere in the country. I would pay good money to see Sting against Rowdy Roddy Piper. And since you guys hit the goal tonight, it's not a clean sweep, but we do have one more round to go now because you guys hit the Super Chat goal. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick stipulations. Since we didn't do that the first time, we'll do stips here for the second round. How about that? I like that idea. All right, so the stipulation is going to be tag team casket match. So I guess you have to roll both members of one team into the same casket, I guess. It's got to be double wide, double deep. tag. Has there ever been a tag team casket match? I don't think I've ever seen one. Well, it's not LOD. Ignore that. Let's take it for a spin. All right, tag team casket match. Sting and Lex Luger making their first appearance in Be the Booker as a tag team. They were actually a really good team in WCW there for a while. They had a great match with the Steiner Brothers at the first Super Brawl. That's a great team. Sting and Luger in a casket match against the Butcher and the Blade. You know what? I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued at the thought of Sting and Lex Luger in a tag team casket match. And that's enough for me to put it over the top. That's why I gave it the bell. All right, the ladies. Let's pick a stipulation here. Use the Yokozuna coffin. That's right. Yeah. The Yokozuna coffin is very deep. You could just use that one. All right. What stipulation will we have for the ladies' match? It's going to be an inferno match. Oh no. This is not the stipulation for the ladies. I don't like this. I don't like this. This is not going to end well. This is not going to end well. Oh, good. I told you it's not going to end well. What did I just say? I said it's not going to end well. And we land on... Oops, I just hit the mic. And we land on Mae Young is going to be in an inferno match. Actually, you know what? Mae Young may be the toughest woman out of all the women in Be the Booker. I think Mae Young would absolutely... If you went to Mae Young in 1999, if Bruce Pritchard walked up to Mae Young in the back and said, "Hey, Mae, we have an idea. We want you to be in an inferno match." You know for a fact that Mae Young is like, "Let's do it." Right? She's not shying away from this. Ain't no way. Still taking bumps. Mae Young in an inferno match against Toni Storm. I thought for sure this was getting a buzzer when I first saw that stipulation. I thought for sure this was a buzz, but I gotta give that the bell. It's too bad, though, it wasn't timeless Toni Storm. See, that would have made it so much better. Instead of getting Wendi Richter, timeless Toni Storm has to contend with Mae Young. That's awesome. All right, we got two bells so far. And one main event left the book. Here we go. A 5-star match, says Fire Panda. Watch, Meltzer will give it 2 3/4. Buried Alive. That's the stipulation for our main event here in round number 2. Buried Alive match. All right. Here we go. I actually like Buried Alive. It's like my guilty pleasure stipulation. It's never a technical masterpiece, but I always like that stipulation for some reason. Matt Riddle, who no-showed an indie event that he was booked for and advertised on the other day with seemingly no good excuse, which is not good. He better not no-show our main event here, or there's going to be problems. I'll tell you that right now. Matt Riddle in a Buried Alive match against Brody King. That would be a good match. That would be a good match. So I have to give that the bell. We got our clean sweep, everybody. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it did. All right, let's get to your super chats here because we got a bunch more here to go through before we get on out of here. Cool Bro. I read Cool Bros. David, thank you for the 80. And Cool Bro, thank you for the $4.99. Be calm, see clearly. She's timeless, timeless, timeless Toni Storm. Kiddo Hudson, thanks, David, for that HBK song. There you go. And Stephen Chapa, channel member for 45 months. Wow, I think he has topped Oz and Glorious. Oz is 44. Stephen is 45. Joining super late, did Solo mention that Hangman was looking for Swerve backstage before running into Renee? Interesting. Of course I did. Look who you're talking to here. You know I'm going to mention that. It was one of the more intriguing parts of the entire show. What's that leading to? Anyway, thank you guys for cheering me up a little bit. I feel like my head is going to explode. I hope I can get some sleep tonight, but you put a smile on my face, something this Dynamite show unfortunately did not do. I don't know what the situation is going to be as far as SmackDown on Friday. I'll be here. I don't know how I'll feel, but I'll be here. And I will definitely be here for the Royal Rumble this weekend. So hopefully I will see you guys Friday night, Saturday night. Of course, you got episode 899 of the podcast coming up on Sunday. A lot of content coming your way. Sick or not, man, the work never ends. I'll see you back here live for the SmackDown recap Friday night. Until then, take care, guys.